A Magical Mystery Musical Tour by Joe Williams. On this Magical Mystery Musical Tour, we shall explore the amazing lives of three orphans of African origin with connections to Victorian Leeds. Like Solomon Northrup, not all were slaves, but each carry a musical connection or legacy that influences our arts and music scenes today. The lyrics of Bob Marley's songs speak of love, history, human relationships, and the need for justice globally. The song you are hearing now is Natural Mystic, which West Indian reggae superstar Bob wrote 5 years after his 1973 concert with the Wailers at Leeds Polytechnic, now Leeds Metropolitan University. The recently arrived West Indian community in Yorkshire could at last see a real West Indian superstar whose music reflected their experiences and history, which they could now proudly share with their new British friends, many of whom were unaware of the historic connections. This song still echoes a time past, a long history, persecution, changes, and fate, envisioned within a message of hope. Sugar, tobacco, coffee, and other products from the West Indies slave plantations helped to build the British economy. Bob Marley's music still spiritually transforms this bittersweet history into a Jah Rastafari One Love vibe, or, as the Beatles may have put it in the 1960s, whilst the once mighty British Empire was coming to an end, all you need is love. On this magical journey, we shall meet a British-born circus owner with connections to the Beatles and an American statesman newspaper editor who started life a slave. But first, an African prince, heir to the throne of a 3,000-year-old Judeo-Christian history, graces Leeds with his royal presence. Emperor Tewodros knew the greatness of his heritage and had recently united his nation with intent to modernize. He admired British technology and society and wished for his son to be sent to Britain for his education. By the time Prince Alemayu was introduced to Queen Victoria, aged 9, the British public had just experienced one of the first campaigns of embedded journalism covering the war against Tewodros's Abyssinia. The public were therefore aware that after a short and unbalanced battle, followed by the shameful and excessive looting of Magdala by British soldiers, it was reported that Emperor Tewodros died by his own hand in 1868. The public also knew that Empress Tiruwerkwubi also died shortly afterwards of lung disease, leaving their only son and heir to the throne, Djatme Alemayu, an orphan. Due to family power struggles, his life was genuinely in danger. It thus became a necessity for the child to be placed in the hands of the British government. The handsome and sensitive young Abyssinian prince created a good impression on all who met him. For his education, he was sent first to Cheltenham College, then to rugby school, and in 1878 for officer training at the Royal Military College, Sandhurst, where he was very unhappy. The following year, he came to Leeds to stay in Headingley with Professor Cyril Ransom, his favourite tutor from his days at rugby school, now teaching at the Yorkshire College, today a part of Leeds University. Professor Ransom is the father of Leeds writer Arthur Ransom, author of the Swallows and Amazons series of children's novels. Alemayu, who grew up with lions his father took into battle, was fond of rugby and most other physical sports in Britain. Despite his full integration, it was noted that he had a curious hankering after his own country. This was no simple sentimental hankering. Some refer to Abyssinia as the original Garden of Eden, a sacred and mystical land that became the world's first Christian nation, which also encompassed the previous great nations of Kush and Nubia. Alemayu's royal heritage was immense and of biblical proportions. Sadly, the student prince spent only 1 week in Leeds before succumbing to an illness from which he would not recover. Queen Victoria held fond memories of the 18-year-old, closely watching him transform into a fine young English gentleman, truthfully remarking on his passing that his was no happy life, full of difficulties of every kind, and he was so sensitive, thinking that people stared at him because of his colour, that I fear he would never have been happy. Everyone is very sorry. The British government made parental decisions for Alamayu as American plantation owners did for their chattel. Frederick Douglass, who was made an orphan of a plantocracy that separated families at will, became a self-liberated abolitionist, achieving freedom not just for himself, but along with many other abolitionists, for 3 million other enslaved Africans in America too. His autobiography became a bestseller, translated into other languages in his lifetime. He edited his own newspaper in Rochester, New York, with support and funding from Britain. Frederick Douglass in Yorkshire spoke alongside Sarah Parker Remond, a fellow African-American who was born free and employed by the Leeds Young Men's Anti-Slavery Society to also speak against slavery. Douglass's status grew to that of a statesman, and his speeches in Leeds in 1846 and 1859 were reported in newspapers internationally, dramatically influencing worldwide public opinion on the issue of American slavery. He would go on to become an advisor to 4 U.S. presidents and the first African-American to run for the office of Vice President of the United States. Our final African orphan was born in Britain. He had no claims of royal inheritance, but more importantly, no one had claim to his freedom either, for he was British-born, albeit into poverty. What did he do with this great British Magna Carta freedom of his that so many of his compatriots in faraway colonies did not have? William Darby was born in Norwich in 1810 to John and Mary Darby. After being orphaned, he was provided with a career for life through the circus and changed his name to Pablo Funk. Funk was already a celebrated vaulter and performer on the tightrope and trapeze before becoming a highly respected horse rider, trainer, and equestrian manager. With a few ups and downs, he ran his own circus company for 30 years, travelling with his entourage in England, Scotland, and Ireland. Frederick Douglass campaigned for universal freedom, for child slaves, for the emancipation of women worldwide and all oppressed persons. Pablo, in his own way, also advocated universalism in his practice, evidenced by his 1854 playbill of a performance in Leeds, where we discover that his successful circus, then on Bore Lane, employed artists from Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. Pablo was a businessman who exploited all possibilities for success and was not slow to realize the impact and potential of the new music coming from the American plantations, cordially inviting one and all to hear Pablo Funk's horn and string bands play popular American airs. Leeds was not always the sprawling city it is today. It was once a small wool market town. Yorkshire's various industries were enhanced with transatlantic trade and the growing extra markets of colonial empire, attracting more and more people to Leeds as it transformed through new inventions and engineering prowess, and is still transforming today. There were once many theatres up and down Briggate to entertain the growing masses. Some have since become cinemas or department stores, or both. The Odeon Cinema at the intersection of Briggate and the Headrow is now a Primark store, but as the Odeon, it was the scene for the visit of the famous Beatles to Leeds in 1964. Shh. Liverpool also grew from a village to a large city through its port and transatlantic trade. Experiencing many American and other Africans escaping the hardships of enslavement, colonialism, and poverty. Over the generations, the gospel music of American plantations turned into rock and roll, whilst the sacred music of Africa was translated by West Indian immigrants into a musical genre now popularly known as reggae. The Beatles often drew on the rhythms of African America as they and other working-class British youth welcomed the rebellious nature of so many new forms of expression to challenge the status quo of a state in industrial and empirical transformation.
I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden, in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden, in the shade.
The Beatles would also draw on the music and literature of Victorian and Edwardian days gone by for their musical compositions. In this way, they were taking ownership of the past to reshape their future. Working class hero John Lennon creatively turns the words of an old circus bill poster he found into a song. That circus belonged to our very own Pablo Fanck of Pablo Fanck's Circus Royale, Britain's first known circus owner of African origin, buried in Leeds due to a tragedy that took place in a theatre on the Head Row. In 1848, just a stone's throw from the Odeon, near what is now City Varieties, there used to be a theatre called King Charles Croft, where Pablo and his architect confidently erected their circus, as they'd done hundreds of times before, together in so many different towns. Even at the end of that fateful night, the place was crowded to overflowing, hundreds more outside queuing to catch a glimpse. Pablo's son was on the high wire. The tension from the drum roll and the crowd filled the air. Pablo is looking up, guiding his protege in the highlight of the evening. His wife, Susanna, counting the takings in the box office and sending children and apprentices on errands. Susanna ran the show whilst Pablo was out front. They always had each other's back and passed on values that worked to the next generation, like it was passed on to them. There is no record of a fall from the wire, but there was a collapse of the seating above the box office. Pablo's attention was diverted from the wire. The shock and horror could not have escaped young Pablo either. The gas lamps in the building were all lit and could wreak havoc. By the time Pablo Sr. winged his way to the destruction, the collapse had more or less taken the life of his wife, a Birmingham buttonmaker's daughter. Whilst the public suffered distress and minor injuries, Susanna Darby was the only fatality. Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite is the name of the track on the Sgt. Pepper album inspired by Pablo's poster. The famous album cover reflects the hurdy-gurdy world of the northern-based circus owner who was very popular in Lancashire and Yorkshire. Over the years, he employed thousands of British talents and performed in front of thousands more, including a command performance for Queen Victoria in London and a special event to a crowd of 80,000 on Woodhouse Moor, Leeds. Susanna Darby's funeral started from King Charles Croft on the Head Row, where it is reported that over 10,000 people lined the streets to Woodhouse Cemetery, which is now St. George's Field, a part of Leeds University. What the Leeds intelligentsia calls a neat monument with an impressive inscription affirms that her death was occasioned by the falling of a part of the circus erected in King Charles Croft, Leeds, on Saturday the 18th day of March 1848. Her bereaved and afflicted husband has caused this monument to be erected. Pablo also decreed that he too would be buried there, in the plot he purchased. Leeds, with all its memories, would be his final resting place. The death of Susanna also marked a decline in the popularity of the British circus industry. So Pablo struggled in his final years. Nonetheless, his friends and associates put on a lavish funeral for old Pablo, 22 years after Susanna's passing. He was not forgotten by the military in Yorkshire either. They paid their respect to the man who raised so many funds for their families when they were away at war. Although dying in Stockport, where he mostly lived, Pablo was returned to Leeds by train, and his body ferried through the crowds up to his plot in Woodhouse Cemetery in 1871. 8 years later, another African, Dejach Alemayu of Abyssinia, a direct descendant of the royal line of the famous Queen of Sheba and King Solomon, was being transported out of Leeds by train on his final journey in 1879 to be buried in St. George's Crypt, Windsor Castle, the only non-European royal to be buried there. The music of humanity has expressed itself through adversity throughout the ages, evolving into popular art forms that launches generations into new industries by taking bold steps. The film, 12 Years a Slave, was a bold step that has been rewarded, as was the new music of the Beatles generation of working-class youth. West Indian reggae musicians, inspired by a love of the heritage of ancient Ethiopia, generated a multi-million dollar global reggae industry. Bob Marley and other Rastafarians drew inspiration from the then ruling monarch of Ethiopia, Emperor Haile Selassie, who shared the same royal lineage as Alemayu. With inspiration from Yorkshire historians Peter Fryer and James Baldwin, alongside Yorkshire writers such as Carol Phillips and Peter Spafford, and with support from the Leeds Diaspora and Stories Research Group and Chapertown community, I was enabled to write a play on Frederick Douglass, which enhanced my creative vocabulary toward feeling a part of this city, which I was born in. Other artists from the West Indian community in Leeds today, also inspired by soul and reggae vibes in their artistry, include dancer, choreographer and tutor David Hamilton, founder of Phoenix Dance Company, performance poet Khadija Ibrahim, founder of Leeds Young Authors, and visual artists Marcia Brown, Carol Sorrendo, Sandra Wilds and many others. Today, established local musicians such as award-winning Stone Roots and Royal Blood can be seen Wednesday nights at the Cellar Bar, Brigitte, near Primark. DJ Fluid Irie, Maverick Intanash and others have contributed to the club culture of Leeds over decades. Like the annual West Indian Carnival and reggae concerts, these artists are connected to a living history, as opposed to just the fashion of the moment. They combine and promote the rhythms of Leeds with a rooted heritage, richly reverberating a corner of Yorkshire's diverse history and creative landscape, reflecting the regal legacy of Alemayu, the diplomacy of Douglas or Nelson Mandela, and the creative consciousness, contributions, and appeal of the ever-reinventive Pablo Funk. You can discover much more on the Pablo Funk Magical Mystery Tour, details of which are on this website. Thanks for listening and for sharing your time.